In a world full of voices, blocking out the noise is vital. The Bible is clear that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, this show is dedicated to providing you with a clear sound of the Scriptures, which are inspired by the Spirit of God and passed down by apostles and prophets. I am your host, Delivering the Heat, Gerald Joseph, a preacher and avid student of the Word, and you are now listening to the Holy Fuel Podcast. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you for tuning back in to the Holy Fuel Podcast. It has been an absolute honor for all the love and reception from you, because ultimately you are the most valuable person on the other side of this podcast. This truly doesn't flourish without you. And so I am thankful for everyone who has shared my first episode. I'm thankful for everyone who commented, who said kind words. Thank you for all of your feedback, because your feedback means the world to me. So I greatly appreciate it. I'm looking forward to each episode as we speak, and I'm excited for what the Lord will do through His Word. Really, you cannot go wrong with the Word of God. And I just want to introduce you a little bit to my method to actually conveying the Word of God. I would say is maybe a little unconventional. And what I mean is, I like to take the long route as opposed to being short and sweet and getting to the point. I want you to see how the Bible is so interlaced with itself. I want you to grasp the beauty that's there. I want you to take the long way home and enjoy the scenery and glean from every picture, from every shadow, from everything that is there. And I am by no means saying that I will cover every topic and leave every stone unturned. But what I am saying is, I want to take my time, and I want us to process what the Word of God is saying. So I'm glad you've joined me for the ride today. And I want to really dive into the first series of episodes on a common topic, and I think I'll let you wait it out and see where I'm going. But in this particular episode, I want to talk about unholy alliances. I think it's quite self-explanatory, but I will get into this topic while talking about one of the most wicked kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. He goes by the name King Ahaz. In 2 Kings chapter 16, the first four verses read like this: In the 17th year of Pekah the son of Remaliah, Ahaz the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, that is, the northern kingdom. Indeed, he made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. And so what we see in the biblical text is that we get a nicely painted picture of who we're speaking of. King Ahaz was wicked, yet he was of the lineage of King David. So he engaged in pagan worship. He was an idolater. He engaged in the things that God purged the land of Canaan of when the children of Israel entered into the land. But yet, though he is wicked, we have to remember a key element of this king. You see, God made a promise to David. When David wanted to build God a house, the Lord actually said, "No, David, your hands are full of blood. You cannot build me a house. I will raise one of your sons to build me a house. However, David, I will build you a house." In 2 Samuel 7, verse 11, it says, "Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings." I want to pause and take a brief rabbit trail real quick, because some of us don't realize it, but we are living in the blessings of God because someone who has gone before us, the Lord has made a promise to them, and that promise is still alive today. Listen, a lot of us are living off of the blessings that God had promised to our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors. Understand this, that God is a covenant-keeping God, and if he said it to David, understand that his promises will not return void. Understand this, that he does not take back his gifts. Rather, he gives, and there's no variation or shadow of turning in his giving. So that means if he made a promise to someone before you, understand that you are still living in the blessing. It's just like Acts chapter 2 when it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Understand that when God makes a promise, he will never break it. He is the covenant keeping God. He is the one who says something and means what he says and backs what he says by his power. He makes sure it comes to pass. So God made a promise to David, and David was the man after God's own heart, but we have a situation here. The problem is this, that King Ahaz, a descendant of David, yet he doesn't walk according to the pattern that David left behind. And yet now we're going to find something really crazy going on. And it really is unholy alliances. You see, it was in the time of King Ahaz that Assyria was the dominating world power of the time. And so because of Assyria's dominance in the region, what we find during the time of King Ahaz's reign is in the northern kingdom of Israel. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, has made an unholy alliance with Rezin, the king of Syria. And what's interesting about this alliance is that they make this alliance so that they can counteract the campaign of the king of Assyria. He is literally taking over territory. And what they want to do is that they want to stand up and be a pushback against the king of Assyria. But they understand that they have no chance. And so what these two kings, Pekah and Rezin, decide to do is that they decide to try and take the southern kingdom of Judah, where King Ahaz is reigning. And so they form this unholy alliance instead of depending and relying upon God to deliver them. What this simply is that they're trusting in their own means, they're trusting in their own power and rejecting God's promise to protect them. So Pekah and Rezin go up against Jerusalem, and their goal is to remove King Ahaz and to install another king in his place to be their puppet, so they can bolster their unholy alliance and so they can counteract this campaign of the king of Assyria. But you got to understand something. You see, there is truly a folly of not trusting in God. The Bible lets us know in Isaiah 31, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord." Listen, there is a curse that comes when we decide that we're going to trust in ourselves to get the job done. You see, when you set your hope in a moving target, understand that you're bound for failure. You will always miss a target that moves. An anchor has to be anchored into something that is solid so that your ship doesn't drift away. And if you're trying to set your hope in something as feeble as human flesh, understand, we are movable. We can be moved by our emotions. We can be moved by fear. We can be moved by almost anything. But yet, when we put our trust in the Lord, we put our trust in something that cannot be shaken. We put our trust in something that cannot be moved. We have this hope as an anchor when we trust God and when we do not rely upon unholy alliances, trusting in ourselves, trusting in our own power, trusting in mortals, trusting in things that can move, things that can change on you, things that can leave you high and dry because one moment they're happy and the other moment they're not. We're talking about people here. As humans, we have this amazing strength of being extremely fickle. We can be swayed by opinions. We can be swayed by our perceived perceptions. We can be swayed by just about anything that's convincing. But truly, I tell you this, when you put your trust in God, nothing can shake you, because your hope is founded on the rock that stands firm. Your hope is founded on the one who's never lost a battle, if you put your hope in God. But yet, these kings form an unholy alliance And like I said, when you form an unholy alliance, know this, it's bound to fail. You see, no king is saved by the multitude of his army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, and neither shall it deliver any by its strength. That's Psalm 33, verse 16 and 17. And so, Jerusalem is besieged. The people are afraid. And their king, King Ahaz, is wicked. However, even in these times of great dread and fear, God has a prophet. You see, in Isaiah chapter 7, even though King Ahaz is wicked, the Bible lets us know that the Lord spoke to Isaiah and said, "Go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. And this is what you need to tell the wicked King Ahaz. Say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah." And it says, "Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabel. Thus says the Lord, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass." Listen, "No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you will condemn." Understand that when God gets involved in what you are going through, you cannot fail. Because truly, God will make sure your foes are defeated. And so all the Lord, for the sake of his covenant that he makes with David, he speaks to this pagan king and he gives him assurance that what Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and Rezin, the king of Syria, has plotted against King Ahaz will not work. It's not going to work. What the enemy has plotted against you is not going to work. What the enemy has decided to say against you is not going to come to pass. The lies the enemy has been speaking in your life, understand that they will not happen. Because in this economy that we live in as children of God, is that God gets the final say. And if he says it will not work, you can be assured that it will not work. So King Ahaz is faced with a crisis. However, the Lord has just spoken to him through the prophet Isaiah. And as a matter of fact, the Lord tells King Ahaz, not only will the plot of these guys not stand, but the Lord also says that within 65 years, Ephraim which is the northern kingdom, will be broken, so that it will not be a people. And it says, the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Listen, a lot of times when the Lord is doing a work, when the Lord is giving you a word of assurance that you will be safe and secure, it's usually just a matter of waiting. It's like if you ever had a tornado watch, or if there was ever a tornado drill, I know we had them in Miami. One thing that you had to do is you would have to seek for cover, and you would just have to wait until the storm passes. Listen, King Ahaz is besieged within a city, and all he has to do is wait, because the Lord has just said that their plot will not work. And he needs to believe. He needs to stand firm. Because if he doesn't believe, if he loses that game face, if he loses that stability in the moment of the storm, he won't be secure. And so, even further, the Lord speaks to Ahaz and tells him, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But I want you to take notice to this. Ahaz replies and he says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. You see, everyone in the room knows that King Ahaz is a wicked king. And the Lord gives this concession to give him a sign, only so that his faith would be secure, only that his faith would not waver, and he will wait out the storm, and he will be established. However, in this show of piety, in this show that he is somehow better than he really is, he says, no, I will not test the Lord. Listen, if your faith is struggling, if you have a moment of doubt, the Lord is willing to help, encourage, and build up your faith. You see, Gideon was very fearful of what the Lord had said he would do through him. The Lord called him a mighty man of valor, and yet Gideon tested the Lord to make sure that what the Lord was saying would truly come to pass. And he tested the Lord with the fleece, making the fleece wet and the ground dry, and on the other day, making the ground wet and the fleece dry. Listen, the Lord did it, because what's more valuable to God is that your faith is established and firmly fixed in him, and so that you can see his deliverance in your life. So the Lord knows how to strengthen our faith. The Lord knows what we need in those times of weakness, and the Lord is merciful and compassionate. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. But truly, King Ahaz doesn't fear the Lord. King Ahaz is putting on a show, though he's weak in faith, and you're going to understand exactly what I'm saying in just a moment. And so the prophet gets upset, and he says this, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? You see, the Lord knows what's about to take place. The Lord knows that King Ahaz is literally making himself something that he's not. The Lord sees through this facade. The Lord sees the fear in this king. The Lord sees the faithlessness in King Ahaz, and King Ahaz will not ask God for a simple sign to bolster his faith, because King Ahaz actually is not even concerned about what the Lord has to say. Let me explain. Here's what King Ahaz is truly going to do, and we see why the prophet is going to be upset. Going back to 2 Kings chapter 16, here's what it says. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me from the hand of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel, who rise up against me. You see, King Ahaz is going to ask the king of Assyria instead of the God of Israel. King Ahaz is going to make an unholy alliance with the invading army of Assyria. I find this so amazing that the Lord will go and give King Ahaz a sign and will let him test him for the sake of his faith. But King Ahaz has no care of putting his faith in God. He has no care of truly trusting God with the present circumstance. Rather, he is going to trust the king of Assyria. You see, when we make unholy alliances and we reject God's help, truly we are vexing his character. When we decide that we would rather hope in a moving target, we simply say, God, I don't need you. And quite frankly, I don't want to do this your way. But yet we end up making a mess of the situation. Because if you thought that this was all, it gets worse. To add insult to injury, Ahaz takes the silver and the gold that was found in the house of God and in the treasuries of the king's house and sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. So he has made a pact. He has made an alliance, an unholy alliance with the king of Assyria to save him from Pekah and Rezin. But get this. Because when you put your trust in flesh and reject the trust of God, it usually is a downward spiral. And everything that looks appealing, you begin to embrace for yourself. See, the Bible lets us know that Ahaz went to Damascus, and there he saw an altar that was at Damascus. King Ahaz sent to the priest the design of the altar and its pattern, and he instructed the priest to build the altar that he saw. Listen, could I tell you something? When you choose to make an unholy alliance, everything that looks good you will embrace for yourself. You will replace the worship of the one true God to something that is more appealing to your appetite, something more for your palate, and you will embrace it and take it in the place of what was good and right and holy. You have exchanged the truth of God for the lie. King Ahaz has just embraced this other altar that he has seen, and look at what he's going to do with this. He literally is going to use this altar in place of the altar that God instructed. Listen, it is dangerous when we make unholy alliances, because we go down this rabbit hole. Everything that looks right, feels right, tastes right, we embrace for ourselves, even if they were prohibitions. It says that he brought the bronze altar, which was before the Lord, from the front of the temple, from between the new altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the new altar. So he moved God's altar and replaced it with this shrine. He replaced it with this newly designed altar that was more appealing to his taste. And so here's how the story goes. Ahaz has made an unholy alliance with the king of Assyria to save him, choosing rather to trust in an earthly king than to trust in the God who reigns over all heaven and earth. To add insult to injury, he takes from the house of God and gives to the king of Assyria. He embraces the altar that is in Damascus and replaces the altar of the Lord in the temple complex. And he simply uses that to give sacrifice to God. Man, I can go into a lot there, but I'm not going to. And now we see what an unholy alliance will do. It will actually invite the judgment of God upon you and the people around you. Yet God will still do exactly what he said. God will deliver King Ahaz nonetheless. But know this. This will bring the judgment of God upon the people. In Isaiah chapter 7, as I try to land this plane, it says, "The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, because King Ahaz made an unholy alliance with the king of Assyria. He has now invited the judgment of God upon his father's house, upon himself, and upon his people." So I want to close by recapping a few things. Number one, when we make unholy alliances, that is, when we trust in flesh as opposed to putting our trust in God, we commit a great folly and we're bound to be doomed. Inadvertently, when we make unholy alliances, we make a covenant with death. Truly, we make lies our refuge when we try to do it by human strength. Number two, we can be honest and open before God. Understand, he knows our weakness. He knows that we are just dust. He knows our frame and our frailties. When we're having trouble believing, allow the Lord to strengthen your faith. Number three, when God gives you direction to stay put and to stand firm, be still. Don't act in haste. Don't give in to the temptation of making an unholy alliance, because when we fail to simply trust in God, when we are surrounded by our enemies, we will fall into the temptation of trusting in worldly means to overcome our battles. This, however, will only leave us broken and vulnerable, inviting the judgment of God on ourselves. Don't make an unholy alliance when your back is against the wall. Hold out, stand firm, and trust in God. Because if God said it will fail, you can take that to the bank. And so I say this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, because we will not make an unholy alliance. We will stand our ground, we will see out the storm, and you can trust that what the enemy has plotted against you will truly fail, and God will rescue you in a deep situation you find yourself in. Don't fall into the temptation of making an unholy alliance and trusting in the flesh for your deliverance. Trust in God. I hope this word has blessed you. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Peace. Thank you for tuning in to the show. This was the Holy Fuel Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, but always remember, His word is the fuel for holiness.